musical chorus here to start with tonight. Amen. It's a, you know, there's songs that are lies, Brother Meyer, and then there's songs that tell the truth. And a lot of them that the world puts out now, so-called Christian, a lot of them are lies. But this song, Brother Don Johnson recorded years ago. Some of y'all may have some of his older tapes or CDs or whatever. He pastored Memphis for a number of years, and his son, I believe, has got the church now. Seen him about a year ago, a friend of mine that I preached for, a young brother in Memphis, leases or rents, what do you want to call it, a part of that, the old church building where they built the new one next to it. And so I hadn't seen Brother Johnson in a long while, but he's always been a prince of a man, and I'm telling you what, he is an awesome singer. Amen. But I just want to sing a little bit. It's on my heart. And the title is, I'll Stand for Jesus, Let the World Go By. And some of you probably heard that before, maybe have some of his old tapes, or now, of course, the CDs. But I don't even know what key it is. We'll try a little bit of it anyway. Amen. That I had on my heart. Well, I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. I'll claim his promise he will supply. We'll walk together, the Lord and I. I'll stand for Jesus, let the world go by. In this world of pleasure, we're tempted and tried. More we have in this old world, less we're satisfied. The only thing that's lasting comes from on high. That's why I'm standing for Jesus, letting the world go by. When it's time to depart from this old body of mine, I don't want to own one thing. I don't want to leave behind. I want to be free to soar through the sky. That's why I'm standing for Jesus, letting the world go by. Well, I'll stand for Jesus, let the world go by. I'll claim his promise he will supply. We'll walk together, the Lord and I. I'll stand for Jesus, let the world go by. Oh yes, I'll stand for Jesus, let the world go by. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Most people have it backward, Brother Stephen. They say, I'll stand for the world and let Jesus go by. Praise God. Amen. But I'll tell you what, it's great to know the Lord and the power of his resurrection. It gets more exciting every day that goes by. You know why? Because I know by all the scripture in the Bible, the prophecy of the Old Testament, and whatever, that Jesus Christ for the church has saved the best to the last. Amen. The devil, Satan, and Jesus Christ are in contrast. You ever notice that? The Lord gives you that which is lesser, and then he saves the best to the last. But the devil gives you that which is the best and saves the worst to the last. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad I'm not serving the devil tonight, aren't you? Amen. Good to be here with Elder Meyer. We certainly love and appreciate him and Sister Meyer and their family. And it's an honor to be here. And the Lord began to speak to me, I guess, last night, yesterday, about this message. And he never changed it. Sometimes, you know, as Brother Meyer probably confirmed, that different ministers, I guess, have different ways of doing, I'm sure. But usually the Lord gives me the message ahead of time. Now, sometimes it doesn't work that way. I thought all day I had a message for that night. And then either during song service or right before I get ready to come to the pulpit, it's changed. But that doesn't happen very often. So the Lord has left this on my mind, kept it on my mind. Mostly yesterday afternoon, last night, and off and on today, I was studying on it again. But I'm going to be reading, if you have your Bibles, in 1 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 8. While you're turning that, I do want to say I appreciate Elder Meyer's desire to do something for God. Of the years, he's put out the newsletter, And I know that, Sister Vicki and I was talking about that before, but I know what it is. Not to the degree he does, but we printed a magazine back through most of the 1980s, the decade of the 80s, called the Banner of Love magazine. And just getting it camera ready was a job, because I was over the Philippine Works at that time. I was the general director of the whole Philippine missions of the AIM, and plus evangelizing, getting messages every day, and then getting that magazine out every month, or maybe it was bi-monthly, whatever it was. And all of that's a lot of work, but I tell you what, I like to work for the Lord. I'm not going to sit around and rest out for the devil, but I'm going to work for the Lord. Praise God. Amen. And we got a lot to do. As I often say, we got more to get done. There's time left to do it in. Hallelujah. So, you know, when you're being led of the Spirit, and I've always tried to be led of the Spirit, you know, things really happen. Things that sometimes just kind of shocks you. Amen. But one thing about the Lord, when He does it, it's done right. I remember one evangelist, one of the organizations, one of this organization, Brother Meyer, years ago, he said, if I'm not booked up solid for a year, I get nervous. Yeah, that's real faith, isn't it? Praise God. Amen. If I'd be booked up for a year, I'd be nervous. Amen. Because fought on the Spirit, you never know what's going to happen. Praise God. Amen. If you book up for a year, what happens if God wants you another place next month? Other than what you booked up, you know. Well, that's the carnal way of doing it, I guess. But, you know, the Lord, we've been evangelizing full time, up 39 years. It'll be June 12th of this year, full time evangelizing. And it's worked for 39 years. Why would it fail now? Praise God. Amen. So the Lord is great. He's awesome and greatly to be praised. But this message tonight is going to help us in a way. And we need all the help, you know, in understanding and believing God that we can get. And none of us knows it all. That's why we need to keep digging. You know, Brother Tim, we need to keep digging. Praise God. Amen. And keep wanting more and more and more. Amen. God, the Lord never set governors on this. He never put dampers on it. He never said, when you get the Holy Ghost, that's it. Sit around and do nothing. Don't even pray. No. That was just the earnest of our inheritance, the down payment of our inheritance. When you and I were born again, baptized in the great name of Jesus Christ and filled with the Holy Ghost after fully repenting. So I'm going to hurry through this best I can tonight. 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, 5 through 8. I'm going to begin reading. And just recently, these scriptures here come alive to me. You know, sometimes with the Holy Ghost, we can read the Bible and scriptures over and over and read through them, maybe read. You know, Sister Marvin, all at once, it's like it explodes in your soul, your mind, your heart. You know what I mean? And these recently did that. When I caught this in verse 6, I said, wow. So, verse 5, let's begin reading in 1 Peter chapter 1. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Notice the word kept. Praise God. Amen. He's not talking about eternal security here, but he's talking about when you and I are seeking God, putting Him first, living free from sin, He's going to keep us. And no devil snatch us out of his power. Amen. Out of His hands. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now notice verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. And here's the point. If need be. How many knows tonight that God knows exactly what we need? Sometimes we think we really know, and maybe we don't. Amen. But God knows what we need. And this is going to explain some things to me. You know, because you have these one side of the situation, they call them charismatics or whatever. And just you join their group, you'll walk the Milky Way and ride the angel's wings, never have any trouble. Never have a trial, boy, you'll become a millionaire in a week. Yeah. We're all Chinese astronauts tonight, right? Yeah, sure. Praise God. But I want you to listen to this. Man, this come alive in my heart. Now, he said, though now for a season, didn't say forever. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Wow. Now, see, the things that happen to us, even like in Brother Meyer's life, and you all know the testimony, I don't know if I'll give it tonight, I plan to give it on my ankle and leg situation, which it was bad. And if God hadn't worked a miracle, I wouldn't be telling you about it tonight. I'd be dead. And the nurse at Sister Brandy goes, my son's the church he pastors in Jackson, Tennessee. He had her to come over and kind of help Candy, my oldest daughter, because she heard my son-in-law, Joey, they took me in, they took care of me. Well, Sister Brandy came over and showed Candy how to clean the wound, you know, because my leg swelled so bad it busted. It busted plumb to the bone. So, you know, it was a tough situation. It really was. And if God had not moved, and I'll give you all that, you know, on the testimony. But Sister Brandy told me later, and she wouldn't say anything then because she's a professional nurse. She knows what she's talking about. She's dealt with those cases before. And she told me, said, Brother Lance, she recognized, of course, she's, you know, oneness and got the Holy Ghost. But she recognized this. God worked a miracle. She said one of two things ordinarily would have happened, as bad as that was. And she told me what the problem was. I didn't know what it was. And she said one of two things would have happened. Either you'd have had to have that leg amputated or you would have died. That's the two ultimatums. That's it. And she recognized the fact God worked a miracle. No doubt about it. He worked a miracle. Hallelujah. And I am glad that I know He's a miracle worker, aren't you? He's working a miracle in Brother Meyer's life too. Praise God. Amen. Yes, sir. Listen to what he said. This is awesome. For a season. You know, though now for a season, if need be. Now, if the need's not there right then, you're not going to go through it. But if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Get it? Seventh verse. That the trial of your faith. Wow. James chapter 1 verse 3 tells me where our faith is going to be tried. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When you check all the scriptures, the New Testament, his appearing is the time he comes at the last trump, the last day. If you'll check every scripture, you get a chance on appearing, it all fits together. Get it, verse 8, in whom, having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. But what I want to use is 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7 mainly. For a season, though now for a season. See, there's a reason for all this. God said, if need be. Okay, if need be what? That you're in heaviness through manifold temptation, whatever. That the trial of your faith. In other words, it's trying your faith. Let me give you the Amplified on 1 Peter 1, 7, which greatly breaks down the King James. It does not contradict any scripture I ever found, but it greatly brings it more into our modern English. And it says this, so that the genuineness of your faith may be tested. See, our faith's going to be tested one way or another. Your faith, which is infinitely more precious than the perishable gold, which is tested and purified by fire. Because you know how they get pure gold. Just what it says. This proving of your faith is intended. Remember, King James said, if need be, it's intended. If we're seeking God with all of our heart, Brother Stephen, and putting Him first and doing all we know to do, things don't happen by accident and bad luck. They don't say thing is bad luck, good luck for a Christian anyhow. Psalms 37:23 said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, not a rabbit's foot. You know, if that rabbit's foot was such good luck, the rabbit would still be hopping around on it, wouldn't he? Praise God. So I'm glad we're serving a God, amen, that directs our paths. Amen. Let me give you that again. Back it up here. Which is infinitely, what? Our faith. More infinitely, which is infinitely more precious. Wow. Than the perishable gold, which is tested and purified by fire. They do have fool's gold, you know. And I call it too, they do have fool's Holy Ghost. Not the Holy Ghost, the spooky spirit. Praise God. You don't get the Holy Ghost and go out and drink every night and carouse and carry on and go to the honky tonks. And amen. No way. But listen to this. This proving of your faith is intended. Wow. God does not, I repeat, do anything by accident. Why? To redound to your praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is, there's that word again, tried. That word's all through the Bible. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Tried. Revelation chapter 3 verse 10 said, because you have kept the word of my patience, I shall also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. Not just one or two countries, not just America, not just Israel, all the world. Why? To try them. To try them that dwell upon the whole earth. To try them. The word tried is many places in the scripture. But I'm not going to read all of them, of course, tonight. But just a few of them we've already covered. Now, listen to what it said. Blessed man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now, we know the Bible talks about tribulation. And through your tribulation, you may read that scripture in a minute. The tribulation worketh patience. But there's a difference in regular tribulation and great tribulation. Matthew 24:21, Jesus Christ said, then shall be great tribulation. Such as was not from the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. It's going to be a tough time upon this earth. But I'm serving a tough God. Amen. That's right. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I quoted this scripture a while ago. Let's read it again, 10 and 11 of Revelation 3. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. Number one, what is temptation? Or what is tempt? It means to make or try to make a person do something. That's what it means, bottom line. Okay? Now let me tell you something. I believe we've been in the hour of temptation for a while. But it worsens all the time. That's the reason why you see things happening like you see happening. Not only in the world, but also in the church. People, some churches I know, people, holiness people, and they lived right, dressed right, everything right down the line. Been in church 30, 40 years, Sister Mara, and just walk out and leave God. Just, man, somewhere they quit praying. You can say what you want to. Somewhere something happened. Amen. You don't just walk out on God. I remember Brother C. E. George had a sister, been in church a while, years ago, and was faithful, was a good sister. And she came to Brother George, the pastor, one time and said, like I said, it's a few years ago, said, Pastor, I'm not coming back to church anymore. I'm not even serving God anymore. Said, I'm just leaving. He said, Sister, would you do me one thing before you leave God and leave the church? She said, what's that? Would you go to the altar and begin to tell God and think of all the good things he's done for you through these years? She did. But when she got through, she's speaking in tongues. Said, I'm not leaving nothing, man. I'm getting more God than I ever had. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. Praise God. Amen. He had never did me anything, done me anything but good. Praise God. So he said there's an hour of temptation. The pressure's here, folks. Well, you want to realize it or not, it is here. Not only America, it's worldwide. Revelation 3:10-11 said it was. Which shall what? Come upon all the world. There's a word again, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Verse 11, I never quoted that. Behold, he said, right in the midst of this, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, verse 3, quoted a while ago. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Another said, be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith. See, what we're bringing tonight and is going to be a help to everyone that lives for God because it'll help us to realize something. Let me give you a title. When your faith is put on trial. It's going to be an answer one way or the other when it's put on trial. Either be guilty or innocent. Praise God. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. Wow. Another said, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. I made a note of this. Listen to it. Our faith can only reach full maturity when faced with difficulties and opposition. I'll give you that again. So do what the word is over and over and over in the book of Psalms. Selah, that means pause and think about it. Amen. Let's pause and think about this. Our faith can only reach full maturity. See, that's what I'm telling you. What Peter said, God said through writing to Brother Peter, if need be, he knows how to help perfect us. Fact is, he knows how to perfect us, period. But this is all a part of that, what we're covering tonight. When our faith is put on trial. And it will be. It's not necessarily sickness. Could be finances. Could be a lot of things. But it will be put on trial. You can mark it down. The book said it would. So how we react during that trial and the outcome of it's going to determine if God puts it back through it again real soon. If we pass the test, it'll go into something else. Praise God. Our faith can only reach full maturity when faced with difficulties and opposition. Think about that. How is a beautiful, precious, big money oyster developed? Bottom line, there is a foreign object gets into that shell in that oyster. And the oyster, the way God created him, begins to form a barrier and try to put that piece of foreign material out of that shell, off of him, out of him. And what happens in all of his working against opposition, he forms the greatest, the most beautiful pearls and worth a lot of money. But it's done through opposition. That's how they're formed. And the pearl of great price that God has, the bride of Christ, the church of the living God, is going to be the same way. That does not mean we have to go through everything bad every day. It's not saying that. Remember, Peter said, or God said through him, if need be. Don't ever forget that, if need be. See, God knows where we're at, and he knows what we need. Romans 5, 3 through 5, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Wow. Acts 14:22, the disciples, the apostles said that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Think about that. Now there's different kinds of tribulation. So far, we in America, in the churches, so far, most of us have not had them come in with automatic weapons and AK-47s mow us down and want to have church. So far. But ours are other types of persecution. Other types of tribulation. There's different types of tribulation. Amen. Ours is different than others. But listen to what it said. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. What we read you before this is a trying of your faith. It's going to work perseverance. It develops perseverance in your life and endurance. Amen. And that's what he's talking about. Be assured and understand that trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. Think about what he's saying. So the writer here, Brother Paul, to the church in Rome, knowing the tribulation worketh patience. This one fellow one time years ago, I remember the testimony, a lot of people's used it. And of course he got down, boy, he was impatient, very impatient, very impatient. He got down before the Lord and he said, God, I need patience. Give me patience. I need patience. And buddy, everything broke loose in his life. He finally got back down, about to go nuts. He said, Lord, I don't understand this. I prayed for patience, and you give me tribulation. The Lord said, you don't know the word, evidently. Tribulation worketh patience. So don't pray for patience. Hallelujah. Amen. You might be sorry. Praise God. But it said, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. We'll never really know what God will do until we trust him. We don't know what he'll do. Amen. That's why part of our experience. And experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hallelujah. We're serving a great God. Amen. Another writer said this, for testing will develop persevering faith. Think about it. For testing will develop persevering faith, proven character, and mature hope. See, it goes back to what Peter said, if need be. If need be. See, God, I repeat, knows what we need. And he knows what to do for us, Sister Vicki, to perfect us. That's right. We'll get lopsided on that. And it'd be good if it was that way. In a way, you know, I mean, just ride the, walk the Milky Way and ride the angel's wings every day you live. Never have anything go wrong. Never nothing else. But it's not like that. Why? Because God is doing something with us if need be. And he knows when the need is there for the need to be. He knows what he needs to do for us to develop our faith in a stronger way. That's exactly what he's saying. So through the years, like I've said before, we raised five children on the evangelistic field until 1978. Brian was born, my youngest son. But after that, of course, we raised six children on the evangelistic field. And we trusted God. He was our great physician. He was our lawyer. He was our banker. He was everything you could imagine and then some. Amen. And I'll tell you what few trials we had, we've seen God bring us victoriously through. The few times the children were sick or whatever, we've seen God heal them. And I remember when we got in church, Candy and Teresa, the two oldest girls, were about 8 or 9 years old. And Teresa was born with a problem in her body. At least that's what the doctor said, you know, back then. We weren't in church or anything. And said she was born with a condition in her body. And really it wouldn't have been very good if that condition had stayed as she grew up. But when she got the Holy Ghost as a young girl, after we got in church, the Christian school that year, all three of my oldest girls got the Holy Ghost in the Christian school that year. And when she got the Holy Ghost, God completely healed her of that condition. Never bothered again. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you know, we know what to trust God financially as our banker and as our physician and everything else, I guess, that you could think of that God would do to help us and provide for us. In James chapter 1, verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work. Think about what it's saying. That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. See, all these scriptures go together, if need be. What God does in our life is according to if need be. And if the need wasn't there, you wouldn't go through some things. But when the need is there, we do. And it's not against us, it's for us. God's not working against us, he's working for us. Amen. But let patience have her perfect work. My reference says complete work. That ye may be perfect or complete and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, lacking nothing. See, the word want many times in the Bible does not mean, well, I desire it or I want it, you know, or I'd like to have it. Many times, such as Psalms 34:10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want, shall not lack any good thing. So many times, as it is here, the word want literally means lack. So James said, to be perfect, we may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. And the modern translation said, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Another says, but let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play. Think about it. Let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play. And do a thorough work. Wow. Remember the song the Hemp Hills recorded years ago? He's still working on me. Make me, right, what I ought to be. Well, that's a true song. Another true song. He'll continue to work on us until he comes. You know why? He wants us saved. Wants to have faith. Wants to stay saved. Hallelujah. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play. And do a thorough work. So that you may be, talking about the church people, perfectly and fully developed with no defects. Whoa. Lacking nothing. Now God knows how to work on us, folks. Praise God. And I'm glad he does. He's still working on me. Praise God. Amen. To make me what I ought to be. Amen. So the word endurance. But let endurance. See, patience means endurance. Endurance are almost, they're almost synonymous words. Okay, so let me give the definition of endurance. State or capability of lasting. Endurance means continuance. A continuing or the power of continuing under pain or hardship without being overcome. Wow. Enduring means lasting, durable, long-suffering. Wow. Revelation 2:10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I shall give thee a crown of life. Endurance characterizes true faith. Matthew 24:13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. James 1:12. Blessed is that man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Notice it said the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Again, let's go to the other, the Amplified, verse 12. Blessed, happy, to be envied is the man who is patient under trial and stands up under temptation. For when he has stood the test, see there it is, and been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which God hath promised to those who love him. That's awesome. Amen. Romans 4:17. Even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Let me give you two or three testimonies in winding down tonight. I went through that fairly quickly. But, you could teach on that a long time, of course. But the overall point is this, if need be. God knows when we have the need. And he knows what to do about it. That's what the whole reading and setting of these scriptures are. Enduring, lasting, durable, long-suffering. That's all a part of what God wants in our lives. And as that writer said, you know, our faith can only be fully developed when we face opposition, trials, tests, temptations. Practically mean the same thing. Think about that. Now, I found this out, folks, years ago, that I do not know how much faith I really have until the opposition hits, until the critical moment comes. Then you realize what you have. As long as everything's going good, we got faith, you know. I mean, there's natural faith, secular faith. These big new bridges, when I go to drive across them, I got faith they're not going to throw me in the river, you know. And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The farmer's got faith. He plants that seed with good weather. He's fixing to reap a harvest in a few months. That's just natural faith. But God is testing our faith in him and his ability. Remember one thing, bottom line, what it all amounts to is Hebrews 10:23. And it talks about, let us hold fast to profession. Profession means confession. Almost the same thing. Let's hold fast the confession, the profession of our faith, without wavering. What's wavering? Doubting. For he is, here it is. For he is faithful that promised. Bottom line is, do we count God faithful? The Bible said he is faithful that promised. Amen. And so when that boat, we showed the pictures here one time, I think right after that, in the Philippine Islands, and what was it, 05 or 06? And that little palm boat turned upside down with us in the Philippines in the Pacific Ocean. And you know what a palm boat is? Just a small boat with outriggers on both sides. Different countries have these type boats, but the Philippines use them all the time. And it's almost impossible to turn one of them over. And we were coming from, of course, the Christian school in the island of Camotes, going to the port of Danao, which is the port into Cebu City where our hotel was. And before we got there, a couple of miles from shore, whatever it was, that boat turned upside down in that water. Just like that. Boom! There wasn't no big waves, there wasn't no storm, there wasn't no big wind. I don't know, nobody knows what happened. But the angel of God, amen, come on the scene. And I can swim very little, just a little. Brother Kill our interpreter, can swim none. He can't swim any at all. And I thought, wow. In the Philippines, all there is water so far. You know, some islands, but water everywhere. And I found out a lot of those Filipinos cannot swim. I thought, whoa, that's strange. It really is. But God sent his angel deliverance. Amen. And if he hadn't, I wouldn't be telling you about it tonight, would I? But you know, here's the point. When that boat turned up, and it was right at dark, a little darker than it is right now out there. And so by the time all this happened, in a few moments, it's pitch dark. Okay? And all that registers in my mind is still there. I saw the boat turning over upside down, and it wouldn't register. Now, if we'd been fighting waves and had been almost flipping over and this, yeah, we'd been more prepared, but everything going pretty good. They've stopped us trying to start the engine. The engine wouldn't start for some reason. They poured new diesel fuel in it because it ran out of fuel. But while they're doing that all at once, upside down. I mean, just that quick. And all that registered in my mind still there. I'm not believing this. My brain's not comprehending this. Well, there's no reason for it to turn over. I can't believe it's turning over, that type of thing. You know what I mean? No one ever said anything. It happened so quick, you couldn't say anything. But the angel of the Lord took over. And when he takes over, he's done it different times in my life. Your conscious mind goes blank. When you're facing a real crisis, and that angel steps on the scene, your consciousness goes blank. And you don't remember anything, nothing. It's like you went to sleep. Until you're safe, you come back to your conscious mind, you say, oh, wow. Well, the same thing happened with that boat. I don't remember going under the water. All I remember is, I don't remember what happened. All I remember, I see the boat turn over, and then when I come to my consciousness, I'm hanging, because the boat's upside down now, and I'm hanging on the bamboo outrigger above the water. I know I'd been in the water. I can taste salt water in my mouth, my nose. And Brother Killikill's under the boat, our interpreter. And he can't swim a lick. I didn't know that. Brother Hubert threw him plumb out. He swam back to the boat. And the first thing he said when he saw me was, where's Brother Killikill? Where's Brother Killikill? I said, I don't know. Well, now it's dark. I said, I don't know. But I felt him. I felt him come out from under that boat. And I said, well, I can feel him, but I can't see him. And all at once he comes up right next to him, and I said, yeah, here he is, praise God. I'm going to tell you what, he'd like to die. I mean, a few more seconds, he'd have been dead. It done got in his nose, throat, some of his lungs, because he was under the boat too long. And the reason he was under, he was sitting behind me in that little boat. It's just a little boat. Up on a little ledge behind me, okay? He's holding the bag, which would have been we call it a leather carrying bag or whatever, but it wasn't leather, it was vinyl, you know, but it had the straps. And what happened when that boat flipped? It flipped so quick, and of course it put him under the boat. Well, he didn't have any ultimatum here. If he lets go of the bag, he drowns. If he holds to it, he drowns. But the angel went under there, unhooked the bag, because now the bag is hooked to what used to be the bottom. Now it's the top of the boat. It's hooked into something there, and he can't get out. But the angel releases the bag and then shoves him, and he comes up right beside me. We're serving an awesome God. Hallelujah. Amen. But the point of it is, folks, none of us were scared. When all this happened, there was a peace come over us. I can't explain it. But like I said before, that's when you know what faith you've been taught and what faith you've gotten from the preaching and teaching in the Bible is not in vain. That's when you know that God honors your faith. Amen. There was a peace came over all of us. Nobody panicked. Nobody got scared. But let me tell you something. About 20 minutes after being on top of that boat, which is upside down, the boat began to sink. It almost went completely out of sight. Jesus! It reversed and come right back up and floated till they rescued us. Hallelujah. Amen. So I said that to say we don't know what kind or how much of faith we got till the real crisis hits. Then you'll see the faith. Your faith's not in vain. You're coming to church not in vain. You're praying and fasting is not in vain. You're believing the Word of God is not in vain. Believe me. But it won't, you know, it's like the old song of the Rambos wasn't recorded years ago. He'll never move a mountain till there's a mountain to move. That's right. But when the mountain's there to be moved, he'll move it in our life, whatever it might be. Hallelujah. So, you know, through the different things, you realize when the crisis hits, wow, God just takes over. And in the ultimate, everything before long is all right. I remember Brother Jimmy Russell, Madisonville, Kentucky. I tell a lot about him in my messages because him and I were good friends. I preached there a lot of times through the 70s. Pastored Lighthouse Church back in those years, Madisonville, Kentucky. And Brother Russell, of course, was a well-known man throughout that part of Kentucky. He was a godly man. He prayed, he fasted, and believe me, he did. I had a lot of respect for Brother Jimmy Russell. Of course, everybody called him Brother Jimmy, you know, back in those days. Well, the doctors had seen so many miracles here in Madisonville through Brother Russell that when he said, Doc, can I pray for so-and-so? Sure, Brother Jimmy, go ahead, you know. And a little girl swallowed a straight pin, like a hat pin deal. Can you believe that? Swallowed it. Well, the parents got in touch with Brother Jimmy, or somebody did, and where he was at. And of course, they rushed to the hospital, the parents did. And they were x-rayed or whatever and had her in a room. Brother Russell found out about it. So Brother Jimmy, of course, went there and said, Doctor, before you operate, because the only thing we can do is operate and take it down. The x-rayed it, it was right down here, kind of corner, right through there. They could see it. You know, lodged in the esophagus or whatever. And Brother Jimmy said, Doctor, before you operate, can I go in and pray for her? Let me go in and pray for her. He said, sure, Brother Jimmy, go ahead. He went in there, had a prayer meeting. He came out and he said, Doctor, don't operate. Re-x-ray her. They re-x-rayed her. No pin. The doctor wrote it off. On the paperwork, the doctor wrote it off the case of the missing hat pin. God dissolved that thing, praise God, right in her little body. Hallelujah. Well, that's the God that I'm serving.
Amen.
Amen. When your faith is put on trial. And believe me, when it's put on trial, if we're right with God, we'll pass the test because God will take over, whatever it might be. Hallelujah. You know, and it's amazing. I'm trying to close, but it's amazing what God does for us and how he does it in our time of trouble. It really is. And I appreciate so much that God has been our banker and our lawyer and our physician and you know, anything, everything you could think of through all these years, raising those children. And like I said, our children went through a few trials, not many. We got in church and began to trust the Lord and seek him and everything. And they got along pretty good, but children have accident once in a while, you know, but nothing major. Nothing real serious, probably could have been, but God always took care of every situation. I remember Kim was trying to figure this out here a while back. I preached in Nashville, and Kim, my youngest daughter, she hadn't been in church in a few years. She came to church, and my youngest son came, and different ones. So I gave this testimony that night in that message. So after service, Kim and I was trying to figure out the year and how old she would have been. We figured out when this happened. She was like 9 years old. And what had happened, I was preaching a revival in DeRidder, Louisiana. Well, we lived in JS, Mississippi, where we live now, but we moved for years, Tennessee, and then, 12 years later, moved back or whatever. And that's where we were living at that time, JS area. And Kim was sick, and I mean getting sicker every day. Well, I was in that revival. We was calling back and forth and praying and all that. And it had been like 3 or 4 days since she could hold water. Now, you know, it began where she couldn't hold food down. And then it came where she couldn't hold water. And so I'd been there 2 week revival, and I said, and I knew I had to get home and pray for my daughter. And the pastor said, Brother Gene said, well, Sunday night, let me back it up. But Sunday night, I mean, that place broke loose. I'm telling you, it broke loose. And the pastor said, Brother Lance, we can't close this revival. I said, okay, fine, we'll go on. But I said, look, I got to pray for my daughter. I got to go home. And we lived a few hours from her. I don't remember how many hours now, but it's, you know, a few hours. And he said, tell you what, that's a Sunday night after church. He said, we'll just go ahead next week at revival. We'll take off tomorrow night, which would be Monday night, for a rest night. And you can go home and you know, pray for her. And I said, fine. Well, I laid down, tried to sleep. And, of course, that on my mind, everything was just tomorrow. I couldn't sleep. So I got up, got in the car. When I got home, it was just getting daylight, like 6, whatever, in the morning, 7, I don't remember. But it was getting daylight. This summertime, whatever. And, of course, when I opened the front door, Kim heard it, and she come out. And I didn't have to say, honey, you been sick? Her eyes were sunk back in her head. She looked frail. But all she was waiting for was her daddy to pray for her. Took that bottle of oil, and God instantly healed her. She said, Daddy, I'm hungry. I said, well, honey, what do you want to eat? She said, a burrito. Praise God. Now, I wouldn't recommend this, folks, really, in the natural, if you hadn't even drank water for 2 or 3 days, much less eat anything, you know what I mean. So I said, okay, honey. She knew we had burritos in the freezer, because that's where I started making burritos and that type of stuff years ago. And I had a pastor's wife invite her to Texas. She made some of the best burritos that time I ever had eaten. So before I left that revival, I said, Sister, would you, if I go get all the ingredients, would you make me those, batch of those burritos? And what we'll do, we'll freeze them. I take them home, put them in the freezer, and then as we want them, we can heat them up. Sure. So she did. And believe me, they were hot. And Kim, my youngest daughter, they're in Columbia, Tennessee. Of course, I go by and visit her every chance I get. And she still loves everything blistering hot, just like I do. The hotter, the better. Praise God. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you what, that little gal was healed. Jeremiah 17:14 said, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. Hallelujah. And she ate that burrito. Said, Daddy, I'm still hungry. What do you want, honey? Another burrito. No reaction. I mean, she'd fine. Went into town later that afternoon, laid down and slept because I hadn't had any sleep all that night. Slept a couple, 3 hours, whatever it was, and went into town. She ate a couple of small barbecue sandwiches. Praise God. She's making up for lost time, that little gal. Amen. I'm telling you. But your faith is going to be tried. Amen. We can, like I said, maybe not in physical sickness or whatever, but it will be tried one way or the other. We can mark it down. God said it would. But he will bring us through it. And it's for our betterment, remember, if need be. That's amazing, isn't it? Through manifold, heavy temptations, whatever, manifold temptations. Heavens. Hallelujah. So I am glad that I have a God that paid the price in his body for our healing. Potter's Courtyard. Amen. You know, pictures could never dissipate what he looked like. I've got a book of pictures of the film Mel Gibson put together. Y'all remember, Brother Meyer wrote a tract on it of the, what was the Passion of Christ or something like that. But I've got a book that's got those pictures in it. And I'm telling you what, they look bad. But they still cannot portray the whole picture of what he looked like when he got to that cross. When they beat him with that flagellum, there wasn't enough left hardly to be called a human. But he did that for our healing. Did that for our salvation. Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded, amen, for our transgression. Bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, you are, future tense, healed. Brother Peter, looking back to the cross years later, 1 Peter 2:24, who himself in his own body bare our sins on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. Get what he said? By whose stripes ye were healed. Now it's paid for. Again, Brother Don Johnson recorded a beautiful song. It's already paid for. You might have heard that one. Already paid for. That's the truth. It's already paid for. Amen. Messiah's not going to come. He already came. Praise God. And he's here with us tonight. I feel him, don't you? Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's all stand. Amen. And just mind the Lord here for a few moments. Let's just get our minds on him. I feel God's in our midst to do something great right here, right now. Hallelujah. You see, I believe Hebrews 2:4 that said God will confirm this word, both with signs, wonders, and diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Yea, God, by your mighty power. Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost, in the powerful name, God, that's above every name, in your name, Jesus, hallelujah, the beautiful name of Jesus Christ. Lord, walk through this place, God. Touch souls and hearts. Yea, touch those online that are listening to the message. Touch them, God, with miracles. Yea, healings in their body, whatever they need. Financial blessings, O Lord, you provide it all. You are a total provider. Amen. You are a rewarder. Hebrews 11:6, of them that diligently seek you. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek the Lord, shall not want, shall not lack any good thing. Hallelujah. We believe the good things are here tonight. We believe God wants to give us the great things tonight. Hallelujah. Yea, by the powerful name of Jesus Christ. We're not doubting what God has done for Brother Mara. You know, once God touches you or heals you, the manifestation may not be there yet, but it'll come. You know, it's coming. And we're not doubting what God has done. But I believe we can pray for him again tonight before we leave this church building. Amen. That God will strengthen his body. Give him strength in his body. Amen. God's already healed him in different situations in his body. And we're believing it. We're holding to it. God is a miracle worker. Yay, God is a miracle worker. Yay, God, we feel you, Lord Jesus. We believe you right now. God, as you walk through this place, Lord, touch each and every heart here tonight. Yay, those, oh Lord God, that have a financial need, we believe it'll be met in the power, by faith in the name of Jesus Christ in this service tonight. Those that need a touch in their body, oh God, healing in their body, we believe and we claim the stripes by your strength. We were healed. We claim it. We believe it through the power of the blood and the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Yea, God, yea, God, yea, God, by the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. Thanking you, Lord God. Thanking you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's let God have his way in the remaining part of this service, folks. Hallelujah. Amen. Let him do a work in our lives right here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, God. Lord, we praise you, Father. Amen. You that want to pray, before we leave here tonight, we can talk to the Lord. Amen. If nothing else, thank him for what he's done. Thank him for what he's doing and thank him for what he's going to do. Hallelujah. We can look forward to greater things, better things, folks, in the church. I don't care how rough it gets out there. We're serving God, not government. Hallelujah. We're serving the living God, not politics. Glory to God. Heaven's not going bankrupt. Our heavenly bank account's not running out. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus is not going on strike. Angels aren't laid off. Everything's fine in the kingdom of God. Amen. So we should believe God for greater and greater and greater. The darker it gets out there, the greater the light should shine in here. The light should shine through our lives. Whoa, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for the power of the cross. Woo. My Lord, have mercy. God is walking through this place right now. Whoa, God, by your mighty power. Touch each and every heart right now, God. We believe the virtue of God, the power of the Holy Ghost virtue to flow through Brother Mar's body right now. Strengthening him, oh God, like he's never been strengthened. Let the power of the Word of God take force. Yea, in his body, Lord God, soul, mind, and spirit. Encourage him, oh God. Lift him up, oh Lord, by the power of your Spirit. Yea, and let a miracle rush through his body. My God, through every organ. Through his eyes, oh Lord God. Through his head, Jesus, through every part of his body, let the power of the Holy Ghost, power of God, and the healing stripes, yea, take course in his body right now, Father. We bind together the church, the body of Christ here tonight. We bind together, God, for a miracle. We believe you to touch him, O Lord, through the power of the Holy Ghost, yea, the mind of Jesus Christ. Lord God Almighty, through your power and your glory and your truth, your love and your mercy. Yay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for a visitation. Thank you for a visitation tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. See, God is still confirming his word, folks, with signs following. Hallelujah to God. Still confirming his word. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Yay, God, by your mighty power. Yay, God, by your mighty power. Oh, by the power of the cross. Holy and mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You don't have the Holy Ghost tonight, just reach out. God wants to fill you. He wants to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Yeah. The promises of God are yea and amen. Not maybe so, hope so, don't know so. They are positive. Yea. Jesus, we love you. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Yea, God. Thank you, Jesus. God is moving. God is working right now in some lives. Blessed be the name of the Lord God. Hallelujah. God is working. Jesus is working. God, we thank you. We praise you. We love you. Thank you for giving us a visitation, oh God. Yea, God, he shall kori beheta. Hamrande kama satobaka. Thank you, Jesus. Yea, God, we praise you. Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Mighty God, we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord tonight would tell us in the Spirit, be not in despair. Be not doubtful, but be encouraged in my spirit, saith the Lord. Look up unto me and live. Do not worry, do not fret, do not have anxiety, but just cast all your care upon me. The Lord would say, for I careth for you. Halabahashata. Yea, I shall lead thee, saith the Lord. I shall guide thee. I shall direct thy steps. If thou wilt seek me in all thy ways, I will bring deliverance. Yea, and I will send my blessings upon thee. Thou shalt see a move in your spirit and in your life as you haven't seen before, saith the Lord. Yea, for I have called thee and chosen thee, and I shall use thee in this end time hour. Yea, for thou art my people, my children, my bride. I am the Lord thy God that loveth thee. Yea, and I shall bring thee through the dark places, through the valleys, by my spirit, saith the Lord. I shall bring thee into higher places in the spirit. Yea, thou shalt walk on a higher plane. Thou shalt walk in a deeper realm of my spirit, saith the Lord, if thou wilt continually seek me and know that I am God. Yea, God. Yes, Jesus. God. Lord Jesus. Lord, in your presence we feel so unworthy. God, in your presence we're just human. Lord, you know we're but just flesh. But oh God, we praise you, we love you. Thank you, Father, for understanding us. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, O Lord. God, you're precious. You're awesome, Jesus. You're mighty to be praised. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's another one of those services, folks. You don't want to close it. Just want to stay in his presence. Hola Bahaka. Parinda Kashi Kamalti. God of heaven, we love you, Jesus. Lord God, I thank you tonight. Jesus, God of heaven. Thank you for loving us before we loved you, Lord. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done. Thank you, Lord, for chastising us when we're wrong. Lord, you said in your word, if you didn't chastise us, we were illegitimate children, not sons. We thank you for everything, God, for all your blessings. Yea, for the trying of our faith when the need is there. Thank you for trying to shape us, perfect us, O God, mature us for this end time hour. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Precious God. Precious God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You want to pray tonight before everyone leaves? It's be a time to pray. Just God do a finished work in this place tonight. Hallelujah. Love Elder Meyer, Sister Meyer. God's got his hand upon him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to God. Brother Steve, you want to come back? Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.